Hello, and welcome to the American Marketing Association's Marketing Power Podcast of Rebranding Case Study, a look at the American Lung Association's Christmas Deals Program. I'm your host, Nancy Piccalo, Director of Online Content for the AMA. We're very excited to welcome three special guests for today's podcast, Jeffrey Bull of Plowshare Group, Reggie Puthenveedel of Group Newhouse and the American Lung Association, and Carrie Martin, also of the American Lung Association. Plowshare is a sponsor of this year's inaugural AMA Foundation Senior Nonprofit Marketing Summit, to be held October 10th prior to the AMA's Nonprofit Marketing Conference. The summit is an exclusive gathering of 18 senior marketing executives in the nonprofit sector. Their conversations will culminate in a white paper offering insights for how to survive and thrive during times of change. You can find more information about these two events at marketingpower.com/nonprofit. We're very excited today to present to you three thought leaders in the nonprofit space. First is Jeffrey Bull, who's partner and founder of Plowshare Group, Inc. He founded Plowshare Group over 17 years ago. He has stewarded the firm to become the second largest distributor of public service advertising in the country. And in 2009, Plowshare distributed campaigns generating over $747 million in pro bono media time and space. Jeff has a wealth of advertising and public service advertising experience garnered from 26 years in the industry. Overseeing the distribution of more than 35 campaigns annually, Jeff is intimately knowledgeable about PSA media marketing, distribution strategies, and opportunities. Prior to launching Plowshare Group, Jeff was a campaign supervisor at the Advertising Council. He is a 1984 graduate of Washington and Lee University with a degree in English and psychology. Reggie Puthenveedel is president of Group Newhouse, a marketing management consulting firm. He also serves as chief marketing advisor for the American Lung Association, in which he works to identify strategic growth opportunities to improve marketing effectiveness. Group Newhouse partners with other firms, both profit and nonprofit, to develop innovative programs to realize profitable revenue and align marketing, sales, and operational efforts. His client experience includes American Red Cross, Girls on the Run International, Recreational Boating Foundation, Johnson & Johnson, Royal Bank of Canada, GlaxoSmithKline, and Lockheed Martin. He holds an MBA from Wake Forest University. And also with us today is Carrie A. Martin, who is Vice President of Communications and Marketing for the American Lung Association in Washington, D.C. Her work at the Lung Association has focused on energizing the more than 100-year-old public health charity's brand. Her accomplishments include building the Lung Association's presence in the media and online, along with leading efforts to develop a nationwide public service advertising campaign, Fighting for Air. Last fall, the Lung Association developed a series of retro-inspired ads as part of an overall public relations campaign to revitalize its Christmas Seals campaign, which was profiled on the front page of the business section of the New York Times. Prior to joining the Lung Association, Carrie served 8 years with the American Red Cross, holding a variety of positions. She provided crisis communication support and served as the primary spokesperson for the Red Cross in response to a variety of sensitive issues, including post-Hurricane Katrina issues of fraud, corporate governance reform, and high-visibility litigation. She has also traveled to the scene of numerous national disasters and worked with national and local news media to tell the Red Cross story. As a seasoned spokesperson with the media both on and off camera, she's been quoted in major publications including the New York Times and USA Today, and has appeared on camera on CNN and ABC's Good Morning America. She was named Public Relations Professional of the Year by PR Week in 2006, an award for outstanding personal achievement in the PR industry. Jeffrey, Reggie, and Carrie, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Nice to be with you, Nancy.
Great. Well, today we want to talk a little bit about a very exciting program that the American Lung Association has undergone that included both a major repositioning of its organization as well as a rebranding of an iconic Christmas Seals program that we're all familiar with. Reggie, if I can start with you, if you can address for us a little bit the objectives for the broader repositioning program.
Thanks, Nancy. The Lung Association really has three major objectives. One is around eliminating tobacco use and tobacco-related illnesses. The other one is around improving the air we breathe so we don't worsen or cause lung disease. And then the third is to reduce the burden of those who do have lung disease, both the patients and the families. And for the most part, people associate the Lung Association with that first objective around eliminating tobacco use. And that is, in fact, a very strong focus of the organization. But one of the things that happens is as you are successful in that and smoking and tobacco use, while still a major problem, is reduced, the relevance of the organization sometimes is less for a lot of the people, the donors and the people in the market. And so what we found is a lot of the work that we do in the area of clean air, both in terms of advocacy and legislation is not known, and not people aren't aware of that work. So what has happened over the past, I guess, 18 to 24 months is an attempt to try to broaden people's understanding of what the organization does and create a greater sense of engagement and relevance. It's not that these things, we're creating new things that we're doing. We're trying to make people more aware of what actually is already being in process and being done, so that we're working on both raising the awareness for the clean air initiatives as well as the work that we're doing to prevent tobacco use and those activities. And so as part of that whole effort includes rebranding the organization from a graphic perspective as well as some of the marketing techniques and positioning, and then more specifically in this scenario, some of the Christmas deals effort to try to create a new level of engagement with a lot of people, and what Carrie is going to talk about more now.
Yeah, Carrie, the Christmas Seals program, of course, is an iconic brand. Most of us are certainly aware of it. Use those seals at Christmas time on our cards and envelopes. And so can you talk a little bit about what prompted this initiative of this long-term brand, and what primary goals did you establish for the rebranding campaign?
Sure. What really prompted our focus on Christmas Seals last year was the value of the brand, of the Christmas Seals brand. And we knew there was value in the brand because the Christmas Seals campaign, we've been doing it for over 100 years. It's still the Lung Association's most successful direct mail fundraising campaign of the year. But what we did was confirm the value in the brand and worked with Reggie at Group Newhouse to conduct some market research. And what we found was that Christmas Seals actually has about 60% awareness. But not surprisingly, older people are more aware of Christmas Seals, while younger people are less aware. And this probably has something to do with the fact that the Lung Association really hasn't invested in the marketing of the Christmas Seals campaign outside of mailboxes during the last 20 years. So our overarching goal of the campaign was to increase our direct mail revenue and acquire new donors. But we also wanted to introduce the campaign using other media, really to expand our reach. So we worked with a Memphis-based agency, Red Deluxe, on the approach, which involved retro marketing. And at the end of 2009, you may recall a few for-profit companies, they produced some vintage marketing campaigns to sell things like cereal and soft drinks. And what they found was that this retro approach really resonated with a broad demographic. So the older people really loved this nostalgia of the products, while younger people thought the vintage was fun and interesting. So we really took that approach to the campaign.
And could you touched on this a little bit, but could you go into a little bit more detail on who specifically was the target audience for this campaign and how that impacted your choices when it came to crafting the various elements of it?
Sure. Well, as background, the typical Christmas Seal donor via the mail is a 68-year-old female. And but we not only wanted to appeal to her, but also to attract a new generation of supporters, and doing this on a very limited budget. So we really considered 2009 a growth year, and we were successful in revitalizing the campaign. However, this year we're actually working with Porter Novelli to more narrowly define our target audience. So who we're looking at this year are cause-conscious donors. And this group is majority female and between the ages of 35 and 54. And these are women who, over other groups, say that their top causes are health research, the environment, promoting healthy lifestyles, and all of these things really tie directly into the mission of the American Lung Association.
And you also talked a little bit about, approaching this campaign from sort of a variety of channels. Obviously, today, social media and some of the emerging technologies that are out there, are changing how brands are working their campaigns. Can you talk a little bit about some of the unique tactics that were used in the rebranding of the Christmas Seals program, specifically with social media and emerging technology in mind?
Sure. The real inspiration for the campaign and the creative link that really ties all of the elements together is the public service advertising. And we wanted this public service advertising to not only live on television and on the radio and in print media, but also online. So again, we worked with Red Deluxe, and they came up with the unique idea to bring three of our vintage Christmas Seals to life in television PSAs using real actors and sets. Again, we created print and radio PSAs as well. all of which sent people to ChristmasSeals.org, which we redesigned to reflect kind of our new vintage approach to the overall PR effort. We were able to use the Christmas Seals images on the redesigned site from the past 100 years, and we developed a Facebook application so that fans could collect and share seals online. And if people weren't on Facebook, they had the option of actually sending a seal to a friend through an e-card. So really our goal in 2009 was really to establish a presence using social media related to Christmas Seals and to redesign the website to create a more effective online presence. We also used Twitter throughout the holiday season to drive people to our Christmas Seals shop. We developed a merchandise strategy where we created some promotional gifts using the kind of iconic Christmas Seals images. And then as far as media relations, we reignited a Christmas Seals tradition by engaging a celebrity to serve as chairperson of the Christmas Seals campaign.
Great.
The One Association has a long history of working with celebrities like Shirley Temple and Cary Grant, and so we were excited to work with Essepatha Merkerson last year on this as well.
Great. And I do know that the Paulshare Group helped you and worked with you on this campaign as well. Can you talk a little bit about the role that they played in this campaign?
Jeff here at Plowshare, I'll take that one. Our principal role in the rebranding effort was to create a significant pro bono media time and space. And so we used traditional PSA distribution strategies and coupled that with a really aggressive media outreach and follow-up tactics to create donated media. You know, we believe very largely in reconnecting with the media several times during a campaign's life cycle to help to ensure that the PSAs get the best possible chance of airing. We're also particularly careful to isolate our best media prospects. So, for example, in this campaign, we only targeted those media outlets that had a history of using PSAs in the health and safety category. The challenge really that we had to overcome was in creating donated media opportunities for the Lung Association was the period of performance for the campaign. Because it was Christmas Seals, we needed to build participation exclusively in November and December, and public service advertising typically builds audience reach and frequencies over a longer period, say like 6 to 8 months. Furthermore, 2009, as we all, I'm sure, can attest to, was a challenging year for all media prospects, and in particular the print industry. But despite these challenges of timing and scope, the campaign was embraced by the media, and we really exceeded our goals. And in the end, what we all perceived to be a disadvantage, the constraint of holiday, turned into what might have been an asset because we were providing the media with highly relevant PSA materials that reflected the holiday spirit and were well-crafted and complemented holiday programming. All factors, we think, ultimately, that made it easier for the media to say yes and include this campaign in their rotation. The radio and TV PSAs ran in markets across the country, as did full-page print ads in Good Housekeeping, Country Living Time, and Cosmopolitan. We received over $2.7 million in media participation, and given the modest distribution budget, we produced a media return on investment of about 67-1. And this year we're applying many of the same tactics and approaches as last year, but with greater intensity, and I guess we'll be getting into that in a bit later in the call.
Yeah, that's a great tie-in, in fact, to what I wanted to talk about next. Obviously, you launched this program last year, certainly had significant results. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about some of those results and how those insights helped you in planning for this year's campaign.
Sure. We were really pleased with the first year's results of the revitalization of the Christmas Seals campaign. It was great that when we launched the campaign, it was featured in the business section of the New York Times, and our being a nonprofit, I think it was particularly newsworthy that we took this vintage approach that some for-profit companies had seen success with in the last year. But we established some objectives related to the goals of the campaign. And we were pleased that we were able to increase the number of visitors to ChristmasSeals.org by 31%. We were able to increase page views by 76% on the site and also increase time on the site by about 15%. We increased our overall online giving by a small percentage, but about 3%. And then, as Jeff said, we were able to have an earned media value of $2.8 million. For related to social media, in the last year, we really feel that our Christmas Heels campaign helped drive a lot of this. We've actually increased our number of fans or people who like the Lung Association on Facebook by about 300%. So we're really looking to establish more roots in social media and grow our support base there.
Great. You know, Christmas Heels has such a rich history of memorable images and art, which I'm sure many people can attest to. And I'm wondering how you approached the creative for this rebranding campaign, being that it was a, you know, iconic 100-year-old campaign and going forward with the rebranding.
Sure, and actually, let me jump in, and I don't think I answered the end of your last question, which was about what kind of insight did these lessons learned, did we have from the 2010 campaign, and that is related to our distribution plan for 2010, which I believe Jeff was going to address.
Oh, great.
Yeah, oh, okay. The big change for 2010 versus 2009 on the distribution and outreach strategies and tactics is volume. We're turning up the volume. In 2009, we realized that the campaign did have traction with the media. We could create visibility and turn distribution dollars into media dollars pretty effectively. So the real insight for 2010 is we're ramping up the volume tremendously, but we're also adding some other elements. We're using digital distribution tactics and techniques to precede the media with the campaign. We realize we have a short window of opportunity here, November and December. We need to create a lot of excitement before the campaign actually physically releases to the media, so we're going to be using digital strategies and tactics as well as teasers. We sent out a nice little Christmas tree air freshener for the car to tease the media with the campaign, and that it'll be arriving on their doorstep in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
We also are going to be employing some pretty aggressive in-person media visits, again, prior to the actual release of the campaign, and in particular focusing on print media for those pre-release in-person media visits. So it's a lot more of the same, but some other new tactics as well that we think are going to make a big difference in the campaign's acceptance rate.
And you asked about the artwork, which really, the artwork for the PSA distribution really kind of maintains the integrity of the Christmas Seals images and the memorable artwork from years past.
Great. And what would you say now, having gone through it 1 year and certainly knee-deep in this year's, what were the biggest challenges your organization needed to address to successfully plan and execute this kind of campaign?
I'd say that there were two main challenges, and that's budget and organizational buy-in. Luckily, our CEO, Chuck Connor, came to the Lung Association from the Red Cross, where he was Senior Vice President of Communication and Marketing, and it's always great when a CEO really values spending marketing dollars and knows that marketing supports the bottom line of the organization. So we did have a very small budget to work with, and that was a challenge. But this enabled us to revitalize the campaign, and we knew that a year or two investment would be key to continuing this rebranding momentum. Again, it had been the last time we created advertising to support the Christmas Heels campaign was 1996. So people weren't used to seeing us outside of their mailboxes when it comes to the Christmas Heels campaign. And then second was really the organizational buy-in. Wasn't so much a challenge as a communications effort. People had gotten out of the habit of using communication and marketing tactics to support the fundraising campaign, and we really needed to change the culture or revert the culture back to when that was commonplace in the organization to gear up the public relations campaign to support the fundraising effort.
Great. And for those nonprofits out there who are contemplating either a repositioning or a rebranding of a major program, what's the one piece of advice or tip that you would offer them?
It's Reggie. I think that one of the things they have to realize is, and it's really unfortunate, it's not one, it's a couple points they have to kind of keep in mind, and that it's a clearly crowded marketplace. I mean, while We hear stories of nonprofits maybe shrinking in terms of number. There are a lot of organizations out there doing a lot of great things. So if you're when you're talking to donors, they have a lot of choices. And so what has to happen is you have to find a way to really connect with them far more than just awareness. You know, there's an emotional connection, there's a relevance, and there's a level of passion that makes them want to either volunteer for you or donate or advocate for you. And to get to that level requires really understanding them. So through research, trying to take the time to make sure that you understand what the issues are and how you currently are positioned where they are, really defining some clear objectives about where you want to be so that you can begin to craft that strategy, and then to have the right partners. In this case, with Plowshare Group and Red Deluxe, really working on both the creative of the program as well as the distribution of the program to have something at the end of the day we've actually got on air. And with nonprofits, often you're not buying the media, you're in a lot of cases begging for the media. You're getting, you know, placement. And so to have something that's relevant to that program manager as well as the end viewer, which is what they're concerned about, is of critical importance.
Great. And Jeff, can I ask you, if from the standpoint of PSAs for organizations wanting to make a PSA part of their campaign, what's the piece of advice you'd give them?
You know, on the PSA distribution front, I think the biggest lesson learned is not to be shy about telling the media properties exactly what you'd like your campaign to run, where, when, and how. I think we create this illusion that the campaigns are always going to be vital and relevant when that's not always the case. And if we can tie a campaign to a specific event, holiday, or promotional period, that will help out in pickup rates. I think it made a difference. What we thought was a liability in the case of Christmas sales, I think in the end it has become an asset because it gave the media an opportunity to focus their donation around a specific period rather than just be evergreen.
Well, thank you. These have been really great insights for our listeners, a great look at a rebranding and repositioning program for a nonprofit. We've been talking to Jeffrey Bohl, Reggie Puthenveetel, and Kiri Martin. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. Make sure you sign up for our feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all of our podcast series available to you. And to learn more about the AMA's 2010 Nonprofit Marketing Conference and the AMA Foundation Senior Nonprofit Marketing Summit, visit marketingpower.com/nonprofit. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Bacala. Thanks so much for joining us.